proclamation is found on page 308 of the Book of Common Prayer. If I could have the confirmation candidates please come forward and stand on either side here. The act that confirmation may be ministered to the greater edifying those who shall receive it. The church hath thought good to order that none hereafter shall be confirmed, but just as can say the creed, the Lord's Prayer with the Ten Commandments, and can also answer to such other questions as in the short catechism are contained, which order is very convenient to be observed, to the end that children, being now come to years of discretion, and having learned what their godfathers and godmothers promised for them in baptism, they may themselves, with their own mouth and consent, openly before the church ratify and confirm the same, and also promise that, by the grace of God, they will evermore endeavor themselves faithfully to observe such things as they, by their own confession, have assented unto.
Now, friends, do you hear, in the presence of God and of this congregation, renew the solemn promise and vow that was made in your name at your baptism, ratifying and confirming the same in your own persons, and acknowledging yourselves bound to believe and to do all those things which your godfathers and godmothers then undertook for you?
I do.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who hath made heaven and earth.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Henceforth, the world without end.
O Lord, hear our prayer.
And let our cry come unto thee.
Almighty and ever-living God, who hast vouchsafed to regenerate these thy servants by water of the Holy Ghost, and hast given unto them forgiveness of all their sins, strengthen them, we beseech thee, O Lord, with the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, and daily increase in them thy manifold gifts of grace, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and ghostly strength, the spirit of knowledge and true godliness, and fill them, O Lord, with the spirit of thy holy fear, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Please step forward. God, please hear.
Defend, O Lord, this thy servant Alan with thy heavenly grace, they may continue thine forever, and daily increase in thy Holy Spirit more and more until he come unto the everlasting kingdom. Amen.
Julian, please step over.
Defend, O Lord, this thy servant Julie with thy heavenly grace, that she may continue thine forever and daily increase in thy Holy Spirit more and more until she come unto the everlasting kingdom. Amen.
Judah, please come forward.
Defend, O Lord, this thy servant Judah with thy heavenly grace, that he may continue thine forever, and daily increase in thy Holy Spirit more and more, until he come unto the everlasting kingdom. Amen.
Clint, please come forward.
defend, O Lord, this thy servant Clint with thy heavenly grace, that he may continue thine forever, and daily increase in thy Holy Spirit more and more, until he come unto the everlasting kingdom. Amen. Servant have with thy heavenly grace, that you may continue thine forever, and daily increase in thy Holy Spirit more and more, until she come unto the everlasting kingdom. Thy servant Tim with thy heavenly grace, that he may continue thine forever, and daily increase in thy Holy Spirit more and more, until he come unto the everlasting kingdom. Amen.
Christian, please come forward.
Defend, O Lord, this thy servant Kristen with thy heavenly grace, that she may continue thine forever, and daily increase in thy Holy Spirit more and more, until she come unto the everlasting kingdom. Amen.
Sarah, please come forward.
Defend, O Lord, this thy servant Sarah with thy heavenly grace, that she may continue thine forever, and daily increase in thy Holy Spirit more and more, until she come unto the everlasting kingdom. Amen.
Madeline, please come forward.
Defend, O Lord, this thy servant, Madeline, with thy heavenly grace, that she may continue thine forever, and daily increase in thy Holy Spirit more and more, until she come unto the everlasting kingdom. Amen. Defend, O Lord, this thy servant Sue with thy heavenly grace, that she may continue thine forever, and daily increase in thy Holy Spirit more and more, until she come unto the everlasting kingdom. Amen.
Jim, please come forward.
Defend, O Lord, this thy servant Jim with thy heavenly grace, that he may continue thine forever, and daily increase in thy Holy Spirit more and more, until he comes unto the everlasting kingdom.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Together, our Father,
who art
trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Almighty and ever-living God, who makest us both to will and to do those things that are good and acceptable unto thy divine majesty, we make our humble supplication unto thee for these thy servants, upon whom, after the example of thy holy apostles, we have now laid our hands, to certify them by this sign of thy favor and gracious goodness towards them. Let thy fatherly hand ever be upon them. We beseech thee ever be over them. Let thy Holy Spirit ever be with them, and so lead them in the knowledge and obedience of thy word, that in the end they may obtain everlasting life. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, who with thee and the Holy Ghost liveth and reigneth ever, one God, world without end.
Amen.
O almighty Lord and our everlasting God, vouchsafe, we beseech thee, to direct, sanctify, and govern both our hearts and bodies in the ways of thy laws and in the works of thy commandments, that through thy most mighty protection, both here and ever, we may be preserved in body and soul, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen.
Amen.
122 of the Green Books in your pews. Please kneel with me. Thank you. endeavor ourselves to follow the blessed steps of his most holy life, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated.
The epistle is written in the second chapter of 1 Peter, beginning at the 19th verse. This is thankworthy, if a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Here endeth the epistle.
Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel is written in the 10th chapter of St. John, beginning at the 11th verse. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Please join me in the Nicene Creed on page 246. Page 246. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of 140 of the black books in your pews. Psalm 72 on page 140.
Sanctify the righteousness.
Congratulations, duly confirmed. I welcome you into our fellowship and diocese this morning. Please know of our commitment to you and to your growth and well-being as Christians and members of the body of Christ. I'm honored to have had a part in this important day in your Christian journey. As I like to remind us, confirmation provides a real hands-on connection to the historic church. The laying out of hands by the bishop in line with the succession of bishops dating back to the apostles conveys that very personal touch each believer has with Christ's one holy Catholic and apostolic church. Confirmation has been called the ordination of the laity, and this morning, newly confirmed, your brothers and sisters join in the confirmation prayers for the Holy Spirit's gifts to be at work in your lives. The Spirit's presence and gifts are real. We all certainly need them. And each member of the body of Christ has a Holy Spirit-inspired part to play in making disciples and making known the presence of our Lord and his kingdom. We are not at all interested in going along with the flow of the unbelieving, self-centered, increasingly rooted in cynical culture around us. Rather, loving one another and caring for one another, we are ever ministering, ever at work, inviting the world, inviting our neighbors to come and share in our Lord's great salvation gift and enterprise. That new way of life has called us and enabled us to follow. I pray that the Holy Spirit will lead you, newly confirmed, and all of us in finding our place of service as members of the body of Christ. And actually, speaking of this, our troubled world, I'm sure you all heard about the conflicts in the Middle East. I thought we could just take a moment in prayer for those countries in the world with the bombs flying all over the place. So the Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O Lord God of infinite mercy, we humbly beseech thee to look down with pity upon the nations now engaged in war. Reckon not against thy people their many iniquities, for from the lusts of our own hearts come wars and fightings amongst us. Look in compassion on those immediately exposed to peril, conflict, sickness, and death. Comfort the prisoners, relieve the sufferings of the wounded, and show mercy to the dying. Tenderly regard those who abide at home in fear, privation, and sorrow. Remove in thy good providence all causes and occasions of war, and of thy great goodness, restore peace among the nations. Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Well, this morning is the second Sunday after Easter. It's known as Good Shepherd Sunday. And our gospel lesson is taken from chapter 10 of St. John's Gospel. The lesson provides St. John's account of the time when Jesus described himself and his ministry with these words. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Powerful. Lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus, the good shepherd, laid down his life for the sheep and set the example for us to follow. The example for leaders, certainly, but really the example, calling everyone to servanthood and leading all of his followers to love our neighbors and even our enemies, considering others more important than ourselves, as St. Paul put it. Whereas Adam tried and men still aspire to grasp divinity for themselves, Jesus moved in the opposite direction. As you recall, again recall this Easter season, at the Last Supper, Jesus rose from his seat, laid aside his garments, girded himself with a towel, poured water into a basin, and washed the disciples' feet, caring for his disciples in the manner normally expected from the lowliest of slaves. This is the God we worship and the way of life he has called us to follow. Anybody want to go home? Jesus stepped outside of the role one would expect for the Son of God, the King, to follow, and instead served those who by rights ought to have been serving him. And he took the lowest place in the room because that is exactly what, who, and how God really is. In St. John's words, and simply concisely put, God is love, self-sacrificing, benevolent, selfless love. His ways are so radical, so unheard of, and so unlike the ways of which we humans conduct ourselves and relate to one another. Whereas Adam tried and men still aspire to grasp divinity for themselves, Jesus, the second Adam, moved in the opposite direction. I'm the good shepherd, explained Jesus. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The Old Testament verse is often associated with and contrasted with Jesus identifying himself as the good shepherd are found in Ezekiel 34, where God expresses his great displeasure with those he calls the shepherds of Israel. In these verses, God sharply condemned those religious leaders who are much more interested in lining their own pockets and securing their own well-being than they were in caring for his people like a shepherd caring for his sheep, as they've been called to do. Adding some color and context to our Good Shepherd lesson in the lesson this morning, in the previous chapter, St. John described an incident which provides helpful background for Jesus' self-identification as the Good Shepherd. According to St. John, Jesus, after narrowly escaping a mob intent on stoning him, anybody want to go home? Came upon a man born blind. Jesus heals the man by using dirt and his own spit to make mud and place on the blind man's eyes. Jesus then instructs the man to go wash the mud away. And when he does, he is healed from his blindness. Obviously, this all caused quite a stir in the man's village, not least because all this took place on the Sabbath. The man's neighbors were amazed as he told them the story of how Jesus restored his sight. The news of the miracle then spread like a wildfire throughout the small village. The neighbors eventually brought the man to the religious leaders, the shepherds of Israel, Ezekiel 34, wondering with increasing excitement if this could mean that Jesus was some prophet or even the Messiah. The religious leaders became divided and confused. Religious leaders divided and confused. Imagine that. How could this Jesus be from God? He's not keeping the Sabbath. Yes, but he caused a man born blind from birth to see. What do we say about that? Seeking answers themselves and certainly reluctant to concede any ground to someone disrupting their plans and challenging their assumptions of control, the leaders turned to the former blind beggar, and St. John's account of the religious leaders' reactions take on a somewhat tragic comic tone. After arguing among themselves, the leaders approached the man who was healed. What do you have to say about him? You're the one whose eyes he opened, they asked. He's a prophet. The man replied, well, that's the wrong answer. Certainly not what the shepherds of Israel wanted to hear. Something new was bursting forth in Judaism. The common folk certainly recognized it. But among the religious leaders, Jesus was perceived first and foremost as a threat rather than as the long-awaited Jewish Messiah. The blind man's eyes were opened, but an astounding, heaven-born, God-like miracle could not open the eyes of the religious leaders, and things began to heat up. This Jesus, a prophet? Where are you getting these ideas? Who are your parents? Go get your parents, the leaders demanded. The man's parents arrived. Is this your son? Was he born blind? How come he isn't blind anymore? Yes, this is our son, and yes, he was born blind, but regarding how he now sees, ask him. He's an adult. He can speak for himself. The parents seem reluctant to stand up for their son, fearing condemnation, I guess we could say cancellation, by the religious leaders if they, the parents, likewise gave the wrong answer. Turning back to the former blind man, the leaders seem to have made up their minds regarding Jesus. We know this Jesus is a sinner. He disregards the Sabbath. What do you have to say about that? I don't know if he's a sinner. I do know that I used to be blind, but now I can see. This man, what had happened to him, could not be silenced or denied. Facts are stubborn things, and the condemnation, cancellation, pressure of the day were totally insufficient in suppressing Jesus and the work he'd been called to do. And the religious leaders were feeling increasingly, inescapably obligated to take a stand for or against Jesus because of the miracles he performed wherever he went, and they were uneasy and troubled with the pressure to do so. Is he the Christ, the people asked? He is saying and doing things we have never heard or seen before. Is he from God? Why are you so reluctant to acknowledge him, religious leaders, shepherds of Israel? If you want to be recognized as an authority, a but you don't seem to believe me. I was born blind, but because of what this man did to me, I can now see. You want to be his disciples? Now that is really the wrong answer. There could not have been a more politically incorrect response at that moment to their question. You're his disciple. We're Moses' disciples. We know God spoke to Moses. We don't know where this man comes from. And we're not at all interested in finding out. They should have admitted. Well, isn't that a fine thing? The man replies. I'm willing to back down because he could not deny the miracle he'd experienced at the hands of Jesus. You shepherds of Israel don't know where this man is from. And he opened my eyes, which is absolutely unheard of. Could a sinner do that? If this man wasn't from God, he certainly couldn't do anything like that. Pressured, flummoxed, and now flat out angry, the leaders reply, are you lecturing us? You were born in sin, you blind beggar, you. Are you going to start teaching us? And these shepherds of Israel, claiming the insight and calling to guide, lead, and protect God's flock, put the blind man, the blind beggar, the formerly blind beggar, out of the synagogue. An excommunication, the ultimate cancellation of the times. This is how not to be a good shepherd, watching over God's people. And certainly not at all what Jesus, the good shepherd, is like. By dismissing Jesus, the leaders were also dismissing his Father, who had sent him. Blind shepherds, they were out of tune and out of step with God and his purposes, useless and even dangerous to the well-being of the flock. Wagging their fingers, that's what you get for letting Jesus heal you. That's what you get for being honest. That's what you get for associating with the likes of him. You're out of the synagogue. Well, you can kick me out of the synagogue, but I can't be silent about Jesus and what he has done for me, the formerly blind man, honest, straightforward, reply. So they put the man formerly born blind and now healed by Jesus out of the synagogue for consorting with Jesus, for being healed by Jesus, and for being honest about it. To be put out of the synagogue was to be excommunicated from the center of community and religious life. One was really better off leaving the area entirely under such a sentence. This man, born blind and as a result forced to beg for his livelihood, had already been living on the fringes of the society because of his disability. He was miraculously healed by Jesus, but the spiritual darkness of the times, especially among the religious leaders, was so profound as to prohibit the Jewish world from seeing and receiving God's good news, God's Messiah, standing right in our midst and delivering unprecedented teachings and performing astounding miracles. And then what happens? Jesus, the good shepherd, as opposed to all those bad ones, hears about the ruckus and, St. John says, comes looking for the disgraced and forsaken man. I am the good shepherd. Not in the sense that Jesus is a good God, but rather in the sense that his earthly life was so appealing, so consistent, so attractive, so surprisingly unselfish, so loving and otherworldly, so good in comparison to the self-serving, feeble, and uninspiring ways many of the religious leaders of the day were determined to pursue and the people had come to expect. Whereas Adam tried and mentally aspired to grasp divinity for themselves, Jesus moved the opposite direction. And how refreshing and appealing and treasured is the way of life he was and is offering for us to follow. Jesus was so unique and so different, a good shepherd, so clearly and reassuringly saying that through him there was a new and better way to be human beings, and especially a new and better way to lead God's people. So Jesus hears about the plight of the man whose sight had been restored and comes looking for this disgraced and forsaken man, good shepherd looking for his troubled sheep. Finding the man, Jesus asks, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? Asked the man, so that I can believe in him. You've seen him, replied Jesus. In fact, it's the person who's talking to you. Yes, sir, said the man, I do believe. And he worshiped Jesus, St. John tells us. And then chapter 10, St. John follows right after his account of the man born blind, are recording Jesus saying, I am the shepherd. John insisting that unlike the faithless shepherds of Israel, shepherd was on the scene, the good shepherd now lays down his life for his sheep. Jesus did not forsake the troubled soul, but rather went after him to embrace him and assure him that he was indeed one of his own. When the predators appear, the good shepherd does not run away, but rather stands his ground and defends his sheep, keenly, lovingly, and tirelessly interested in the well-being of his flock. So it's Good Shepherd Sunday. And we follow the Good Shepherd and ever aspire to emulate his ways in our dealings with one another and with our neighbors. As he cares for us, may we likewise care for one another, laying down our lives, counting others more important than ourselves, loving others as God has loved us.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, even so do unto them, for this is the law and the prophets. Please join me in the offertory hymn, hymn 459.
Thank you.
208.
For the redemption of the world by the death and passion of our Savior.
even to the death upon the cross for us miserable sinners, who lay in darkness and the shadow of death, that he might make us the children of God and exalt us to everlasting life. And to the end, that we should always remember the exceeding great love of our Master and only Savior, Jesus Christ, thus dying for us, and the innumerable benefits which by his precious blood shedding he hath obtained for us, he hath instituted and ordained holy mysteries as pledges of his love, and for a continual remembrance of his death to our great and endless comfort. To him, therefore, with the Father and the Holy Ghost, let us give as the almost bounding continual thanks, submitting ourselves wholly to his holy will and pleasure, and studying to serve him in true holiness and righteousness all the days of our life.
Amen.
Our fellow Christians of other branches of Christ Church, and all who love our divine Lord and Savior in sincerity and truth, are invited to the Lord's table. If you desire a blessing rather than the sacrament, please cross your arms over your chest at the rail. Ye who do truly and earnestly repent of your sins, and are loving charity with your neighbors, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandment of God and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and make your humble confession to Almighty God, meekly kneeling upon your knees. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Maker of all things, Judge of all men, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent, and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us, the burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us, have mercy upon us, most merciful Father, for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honor and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, who is great mercy, hath promised forgiveness of sins to all those who with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon, deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Hear with comfortable words our Savior Christ saith unto all who truly turn to him. Come unto me, all that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. So God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Here also what St. Paul saith, this is a true saying, and worthy of all men to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Here also what St. John said, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. Lift up your hearts.
Lift up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto our Lord God.
It is meet and right to do.
It is very meet, right, and abounding duty, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and
thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table. But thou art the same, Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us.
Amen.
Almighty God, our heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made him, by his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and it institute, and in his holy gospel, command us to continue, in perpetual memory of that his precious death, until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood. Whom the same night that he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it, in remembrance of me.
Thank you.
put him in my heart by faith with thanksgiving. Lord, bless thee.
Join me on page 264 for the Lord's Prayer. Please kneel.
We bless you.
peace of God, with passive understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be amongst you, ever and with you always.
Amen. Amen.